morning. It is Thursday, April 4th, 2019, and you've tuned into The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY with your usual Thursday morning co-hosts, Jim and Jack. I'm Jack. Across from me is Jim, as per usual. And good morning, Jim. How are you?
And what a lovely surprise of a morning it is.
Yeah. The weather forecast I had heard and seen was for rain.
All the way through Monday, and I just read the forecast during Democracy Now, and it's not going to occur till tonight, and today is going to be absolutely fabulous.
That's what it looks like. A beautiful day like this, some clouds, high of 56 degrees, and partly sunny. The low tonight, about 38 degrees, a 30% chance of rain. Tomorrow, rain is likely, 70% chance. Still with those highs in the mid-50s, looks like all weekend long. And rainy Friday night, Saturday, about a 50% chance of showers. And on Sunday, about a 60% chance of showers. So those April showers are indeed going to come, according to this forecast, according to the National Weather Service. But, yeah, we get a little break from them right now, which is nice.
I want to head out and get some yard work done. I want to put my tree spikes in. That'll give good nutrition to my trees that I'm growing. But also, I would like to have the opportunity to put some weed and feed on the lawn. But this is not a good time to do that if there's a lot of rain in the forecast.
Tree spikes?
Yeah. These are little spikes that you pound in around the tree, within the canopy of it, and it sends good nutrients into the ground. And my oak tree up front loves it.
Cool.
So it is growing like crazy.
I don't think I've even heard of those.
Do you have any trees?
Yes.
Okay, tree spikes.
Try them out.
Yeah,
okay.
Try them out. That gives good nutrition. Mm-hmm. What else is new in the world these days?
Oh, yeah, we've got the weather. Do you do any April Fool's Day jokes, Jim?
I did not, because I don't like to have jokes played on me.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, if I don't like them played on me, I don't do them.
Yeah.
Did you do any?
Not this time. No. Actually, no, I've never really been into it. So that's a boring topic, I guess.
Well, for some people, I was out at the health club walking on one of my machines over there, and one of the talking heads said, it should be all week. We should have an April Fool's Day all week. And, tuning into some television stations, it is nonstop, 24/7, watching a bunch of fools.
The one my girlfriend's niece had one played on her. it was, you know what a cake pop is? It's like a little ball of dough on the end of a stick covered in frosting.
Sounds yummy.
Yeah. it's batter, not dough. That's what you call cake, but whatever. It's like a bite of cake on a stick. This was instead of and then you cover it in the frosting or whatever. Her mom covered a Brussels sprout in frosting and put that on a stick and then gave it to her daughter. Here's a little special after school treat. And
this could get into levels of trust. Gee, mom, what is that? Oh, something you'd like? Honesty? I could see relationships just falling apart over that. But let's go back earlier. Why would you want to put a piece of cake on a stick?
Well, they're very popular, Jim, I think. I would say they were trendy at least a few years ago and continue to be trendy.
Okay.
I guess it's like a single serving cake treat that you don't get your hands messy like you would with a cupcake. You do still have something to throw away at the end of it. You just still have the stick, so it doesn't really save you there. I don't know.
Just asking, far be it for me to question anyone's liking for a trend. We are not alone, are we?
We are not alone, no.
We are not alone.
We have here in this studio.
This very studio.
Live in studio.
Tiki Room.
Bob Over, the director of the U of I Nonprofit Leadership Program. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Jack.
And we have Sherry Meekings, the executive director of Creations on the Bridge, the daycare, is that what it is? that what you call it?
Not a daycare.
Not a daycare.
No.
No, it's a...
So it's an indoor children's interactive art and discovery space.
Okay.
With a toy store and children's clothing store.
Yes, it is.
That it's a museum store, which supports our outdoor community space.
Okay.
And I do want to say, before we begin talking about the nonprofit leadership program, sometimes I go over and have coffee on the bridge. And just to hear the children walk by, heading to the back part of the bridge, is just a joy. The anticipation, the laughter, they're like dragging the parent along because the parent cannot walk fast enough to keep up with the child. I don't know what you're doing back there, Sherry, but it's got to be good.
Cake pops.
Jeez. Yeah. Please don't tell me that. I'm going to have to go back there.
The trend continues.
Mm-hmm. Did you know what cake pops were?
Yeah.
See?
They're amazing.
They're a real thing.
It's a bite of cake. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want a bite of cake?
Well, yeah, and when I think of something on the end of a stick, I think of like a Tootsie Roll Pop or something that you lick and it takes forever. I think of a bite of cake at the end of a stick. I mean, that's done in like one mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
okay,
awesome.
Okay. I guess I'm missing something, and that's the way
we're
it
gonna,
is.
Yeah, we're going to have to have, we're going to bring some in when membership drive comes in June. We'll have some. We'll have a big plate of cake.
We've got you down. But mm-hmm. I just want to give a nod to Sherry mm-hmm. and to her organization at the end of the bridge, doing a bang up job. And now we can talk about the nonprofit leadership program. We'll turn to Bob. Bob, can you give us just a big overview before we talk about in particular?
Be happy to, Jim. The nonprofit leadership program was born out of a need in North Idaho, in fact, throughout the entire state, to provide support, skills, training to our nonprofit sector with the premise that the quality of our community, to a large extent, is based upon the quality of our nonprofit sector. And if we could think for a minute what Sandpoint would be like without nonprofits, it would, you know,
it'd be in a sad state of affairs.
It would be worse than that, actually. So up until about 8 years ago, there was nobody offering the training, support, guidance that we do in Sandpoint and surrounding areas. And so we started the program through the University of Idaho in Coeur d'Alene 8 years ago. And it has thrived. It grows every year. We've had well over 500-600 people unduplicated that have come into the program. And these are board members, these are executive directors, these are management staff and line staff looking for help and support and a way of doing their job a little bit better and enhancing their nonprofit and therefore the community.
For somebody listening out there who might not know what a nonprofit is, could you define a nonprofit?
Sure. A nonprofit is a business organization that sole purpose is to provide support and caring for a community. Unlike a for-profit that generates money, a nonprofit's mission and commitment is to provide services while making money and putting it back into the company. So the basic difference between the two is the motivation and the commitment of the organization itself, either to support the community and or support stockholders or share owners or whatever.
Do you know how many there are here in Sandpoint or the North Idaho area?
I'm thinking around 450 thereabouts.
Wow.
And but there are like 1.5 million nationally and close to 5,000 in Idaho alone. So it's a fairly substantial industry, if I can call it an industry.
Yeah. And it's, interesting that there's that many. It seems like a lot to me.
It is a lot. But when you think in terms of churches, schools, hospitals, organizations like Creations, Sandpoint Resource Center, and others, it adds up pretty quick.
Sure.
The Panada, 88.5 KRFY.
Absolutely.
There's a couple more right there.
Yeah.
So I think the 450 is Bonner County. Is
okay.
that right, Tom?
I think, yeah. That's all the county.
Yeah, put it in perspective.
Just in Bonner County. Whoa, I was thinking when you said 450, I was thinking Coeur d'Alene and northwards.
Yeah.
But wow.
Yeah, much more.
Sherry, how does... So Creations is right here on the flyer. You're a some kind of sponsor of this event, I guess.
We are. And reason being, I met Bob about 7 or 8 years ago with just a big heartbeat wanting to do something amazing for our community. But with that heartbeat, I didn't really know what to do with it. I didn't really know what a nonprofit organization was. I just had a desire to do something cool for the community. So with Bob's help, he gave me the education and support that I needed to make my heartbeat come to fruition. And do it legally and actually understand exactly what a nonprofit is and how to operate.
Yeah. So are you the founder of Creations?
I am.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
She's the creator of Creations. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll fade back into the woodwork.
That should be my title.
Yes. Creator.
There you go.
I like it.
So you started Creations after meeting Bob.
Before meeting Bob, and then Bob brought his support. I didn't realize there was support. And so just attending his classes at the University of Idaho, which is an accredited course, and spending time with Bob, he spent time with our board. He straightened me out and helped me get all my ducks in a row so that we could create Creations.
Yeah, Sherry, I need to stop you for a minute. This lady is one of the most creative people, and no pun meant there, and has such drive, such motivation, such spirit that whether I was here or not, Creations would be thriving. I was just a little bit piece of supporting Creations, but Sherry is Creations.
Yeah. Well, a good partnership, it sounds like.
Was there, can you think of anything like specific that you changed because of the course or anything like that?
Sure. A board, for starters, it was just me and my heartbeat.
Really?
So, yeah, I didn't really know what I was doing. I just wanted to do something. And I started doing it. And then just learning more about what a nonprofit is, we were able to create an active board that's successful, a strategic plan. Keeping our board members active and interested in what we're doing. And each year I see, you know, it's a different season and different growth. And I still keep learning from the information that Bob shared with me years ago.
Mm-hmm. So you went through did you go through the whole course?
I did.
Yeah.
Twice. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A remedial student, I guess.
I needed to know more.
Yeah, in a good way. So the big event that we're kind of talking about today, before we get, I guess, too far into the conversation, we should throw out some dates and times, which is this seminar on Friday, May 3rd. And what is that going to be? What and where?
It's going to be at 41 South. We chose a venue that we feel is going to be very inducive and supportive of the participants that come to our seminar. For those of you who have been to 41 South, you know how beautiful it can be, looking out the windows onto the lake, and it's a very pastoral setting. We're going to be doing the seminar inside the restaurant, and it's going to be a very casual event, and we're going to be throwing out a whole lot of information on boards, speaking of boards. And boards, by the way, are probably the biggest challenge of any nonprofit in all of Idaho.
Why is that?
Well, there's a number of reasons. First of all, prior to starting the program at the U of I, there was no training or support for boards. Boards that were in existence didn't know what to do, what their roles were, what separation separation of authority, responsibility was really all about. And so boards sort of just charted their own course, just taking a wild guess. And so it got into a lot of conflict, especially with staff that had their idea what roles were going to be all about and knew nothing about the limits of authority. And so they crossed paths and got into a lot of, I'll just say, conflict and confusion. And everybody had good intentions. Boards felt, well, we're here to do good things, and we know what the good things are, but we don't know how to do it. And the same with staff. And so we find as we go through our programs that the number one need, urgent need, I should say, is board development, working with boards. So we put together this program called Lost and Found, which is building boards that will make a difference. And so we're going to be doing this in 41 South on May 2nd. It's an all-day seminar. It starts with continental breakfast in the morning, and we're going to have a great lunch, as only 41 South can do here in our area. And so we're really pretty excited about that, and we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to try to encourage people to come out, and we're going to be talking about 6 or 8 different topics that I think are going to be very, very relevant to the needs of our nonprofit sector here in Sandpoint and in Bonner County and Boundary County. We're hoping to get a lot of folks from Boundary County as well. There's some very good folks up there with great nonprofits that could use a little bit of support, and we're here to provide that support.
Bob, you're a wise man. You began by talking about the food, you know, with breakfast and lunch. Wise. Can you walk us through then the day? You've got the food fixed. You know, what's going to occur during the day for a person who might be out there wondering, you know, what I as a board member or what my organization with a board can expect. Okay, we can expect a brunch and we can expect a lunch. Now, in between there, what's going to occur?
You may just want to come for the food, Jim.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for the invite.
Well, we're going to divide the day into a number of topics. We're going to start basically with assessing where we are as an organization, where we are as a board. And we, if we're going to chart a course going forward, we need to know where we're starting. We need to know where the trailhead is. So that's where we're going to start. We're going to talk a little bit about vision. What is the vision? What is the mission? We're going to talk a little bit about the strategic master plan. And this is the plan that carries us forward. And without a strategic master plan, it's sort of like a sailboat out in the lake without any wind whatsoever. You get stuck. So the plan helps us and guides us going forward. We're going to talk about where and how to recruit a board member. We're going to be talking about how to interview and vet a board member. And a great board member, many of them come together and become a great board. And if you get the wrong people on the board, then you've got a real problem. It's much easier to vet and hire a great board member than it is to get rid of a bad one. And there's a pollution effect. And so we're trying to be careful and do things up front. We're going to be talking about the paradoxes between the board and the staff. And what that means is understanding the what I would refer to as an unnatural nature between the two. It's an unnatural wedding, if you will. And we're going to be talking about how to work through that. We're going to be talking about lines of communication. We'll be speaking of techniques and strategies and how to work well together on behalf of the organization. And we're going to be talking about and doing some interactive work with problems, solving problems, and we'll probably be dividing into groups. Those groups will have problems to solve, and these are conflicts that commonly occur. As a matter of fact, I've got a list of about 50 of these common conflicts that happen in our nonprofit sector throughout North Idaho, and these are real situations. I've got them written down. We're going to give them to the groups, and they're going to solve them. So we're going to kind of figure out how to go forward, how to work together, what we need to have to make our program real successful. So that's going to be the day, and we'll have breaks, we'll have some fun, and
cake pops.
Yeah, cake pie. Actually, speaking of that,
don't tell me you've had some too.
You know, I'm sitting here in awe because I never heard of such a thing. But it sounds and tastes so good that I'm going to go for it. And Sherry, I need to say, has been out there looking for ways of having a fun day, and she's asking some of our folks in town here for prizes or what should we call them, Sherry?
Door prizes and raffle. We're going to raffle off some amazing prizes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that'll make it fun. And Sherry has done this in the past and has gotten some amazing support from our small business community here in Sandpoint. And I'm really impressed with our businesses here. They are so good.
They are terribly supportive of a lot.
Yeah, they are great.
They are. I want to ask you, Bob. Oh, Sherry, you put your finger up.
Okay. So I just wanted to mention that it's Friday, May 3rd.
Good.
It's not the 2nd. And also, it's $75 a person.
Yeah, and we're going to do make a special arrangement for our Sandpoint friends. If you sign up with three or more people from your same organization, we're going to drop it to $50. We really want people to come out, and we're hoping that if you're a staff person listening to this and you're interested, encourage your board. By all means, encourage your board. If you have staff like yourself and your board there, then you're going to be able to problem solve things together. And these are problems that may currently exist, or I guarantee you will exist at some point in time.
I was going to ask you in terms of the people you are targeting with this seminar, is it just board members or executive directors, or who would be the people whom you're looking for?
So someone like myself, an executive director, but as an executive director, I need board member support. So it's so wonderful for any executive director out there to encourage a few of your board members to come with you. What the seminar does is light a fire. It gets you so excited to be a part of what you're doing, because what we do every single day is such hard work. So we always need to keep that fire going. And so I can only encourage you to bring a board member or two. Come have fun. It's beautiful. And enjoy the food and the fellowship. And it's wonderful networking to get to know your nonprofit community.
I would add one thing. You don't need to be an executive director to be here. As a matter of fact, most of the people in our classes are professional people working in the nonprofit organization, which many aspire to become executive directors. And what we're going to be discussing are issues that they will be encountering as they grow in or mature into that relatively high position. So we're encouraging people on the line, people that work with kids, people that work with whatever their population is, to come and join us for this. So it's great staff training as well. So you don't need to be an ED to enjoy this.
What size will the class be, do you imagine? What's the cutoff point in terms of people attending?
Well, the perfect size class is 20. And so we're going to shoot for 20 people. We would take a few more if we need to. But 20 seems to be the workable size class, and a class that can interact really well without being overwhelmed with large numbers where people just don't feel like they are part of anything. So we're going to try to keep it small, intimate, engaging, and fun.
To step back a little bit, so if I start a business, you know, if I want to sell hot dogs from my stand, I can do that just me. I, you know, fill out the paperwork. But to do a nonprofit, a board of directors is actually required to be a nonprofit, or is that just a highly recommended best practice thing?
No, it is best practice, but more important, it's required.
Yeah.
If you want to become a nonprofit and be a charitable nonprofit, it's called a 501c3. And just to back up here a second, Jack, you mentioned businesses. We have business owners come into this as well. And not to necessarily work with their boards, but to work with their consumers, work with whoever. So it's great leadership training for anybody that's in a leadership, management, or ownership level. So I would encourage it to all. So did I catch your question?
I think so. Yeah.
Now is there pre-registration?
Yes, there is registration.
How does one go about this rather than just showing up at 41 South on Friday, May 3rd? How does one go about?
Get on your computer, go to uidaho.edu/nonprofitcda. It'll give you more information about this class or this seminar and some of our other classes that we're finishing out the year with as well, and how to register, and you can register online. So
perfect. We're here with Bob Over and Sherry Meekings talking about an up-and-coming workshop seminar on May 3rd at 41 South. And we're going to take a break now and then come back and ask Bob about right now where the classes are that you're conducting, and we can talk about that. This date is important, April 4th in 1964. The Beatles did something that had never been done before, and I doubt if it will ever be occurring again. They had the top five songs on the singles charts, and this is part of the British invasion. Some of us in the studio might remember this, and what we'll do is, I'd love to play all five Beatles songs, but we'll just play probably the one that brought the Beatles over in February of 1964, because they said they wouldn't come over until they had a number one song here in the States. Here it is. Was the Beatles, the wonderful Beatles, with I Want to Hold Your Hand. On this date, 55 years ago. Can you believe that? I sure can't. They had the top five songs, one through five, and we played one of the top five, and we'll talk more possibly later. But right now, we're going to go back to our guests, Bob Over and Sherry Meekings from the University of Idaho Nonprofit Leadership Program.
In addition to the seminar coming up on May 3rd, this is an ongoing program that's lasted, is it the full spring semester at Ray Burns?
Yes.
Okay. And you are down to now three remaining classes.
Three remaining classes that, with the first of the third coming up this evening, it's going to be special events. And just a couple words on the special events. A lot of people or a lot of organizations put on special events with the idea of making money. But a special event is not necessarily a mechanism or a tool to make money. What a special event is a marketing tool. It's a tool to get people interested, engaged, and supportive of an organization. The program we're doing tonight on special events is kind of special in itself, because we're going to be talking about what goes into a successful special event, how to go about putting it together. And the event we're going to be talking about or featuring tonight is an event that we call Peak Challenge, which is an event that happened a lot of years ago that I was involved in. And the very quick story is that we were in a position, this is back in Colorado, where people weren't paying attention to the needs of troubled kids that were in residential care. And it started with our legislation that was not supportive at all of what we were doing or the nonprofit sector or children. So we felt we needed to speak out. And the way we did it is put together an event, and we involved the entire state. We went around to corporations, small business, individuals, everybody in all parts of the state, and we said to them, we would like you to climb a mountain, one of the highest mountains in Colorado, and celebrate children and bring to light the need for kids in trouble and the funding and support that was needed from our General Assembly in Colorado that wasn't at that point coming. So we put together Peak Challenge. And on one eventful day, we had our kids at the base of Mount Elbert, which is highest mountain in Colorado. And the goal was to get everybody to the top. In the meantime, the media really jumped on this. It was in every single paper, on every television station in all of Colorado. In fact, CNN picked the feed up out of Colorado Springs, and I had a board member call me the next day from Tokyo saying, Bob, what the hell are you doing? He said, I saw your face on television in the Hilton in Tokyo. And I said, well, why weren't you here? anyway, CNN broadcasted around the world. And we didn't know we were going to do that. And so I've got a tape of that. United Artists took our homemade videotapes, put them all together, and made a 15-minute tape. And so we're going to feature this tape during our special events class. And then we're going to ask the class to work on putting their own special event together. So we're going to break down into work groups and do that. So that's going to be kind of fun. I've done this class, I think, almost every year, at least four out of the last seven or eight years here, and it goes over pretty well. The next class that we're going to be doing is called Entrepreneurial Thinking Can Change Be a Financial Game Changer. And actually, Sherry can tell you a little bit about that, then I'll tell you a little bit about the instructor that's going to do it, because Sherry does that with Creation. So, Sherry, what are you doing in terms of your businesses that support Creations?
So we have a slightly different platform and model at Creations. We have a museum store. And so we actually generate revenue as a nonprofit. And then that revenue in turn goes back into the nonprofit instead of in one family's pocket. So, we operate just a little bit differently than other nonprofits. We also receive funding from private foundations, and which is grant work. And so Bob has a wealth of information on how to approach foundations, how to put together different events that raise awareness of your organization so that more people become involved, so that you're eligible to write grants for funding. I've picked up so many useful tools from Bob's seminar in the fundraising, for fundraising.
Actually, we just finished a fundraising class, and we had foundation managers, directors come in and role play with our students. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, most every time students walk away with an opportunity to present a grant and receive income, receive money for their work. And again, it's a way of putting together a partnership between the nonprofit sector and the foundations that Sherry is referring to. But on this class, Mindy Evans is going to be doing it from Panhandle.
Oh, Panhandle Animal Shelter.
Yeah, and she's got a business or two that supports her nonprofit. And I think, as we all realize, nonprofits really struggle for income. And this is one way of doing it. Mandy does it through a thrift store and through another business or two that she's running to support the care, maintenance, and adoption of animals. So Mandy's going to be presenting that class. The last class we're doing in this session is called Foundation Concepts of the LGBTQ Experience. And this is something that I believe that all nonprofits need to be very conscious of, supportive of, etc. And so Julie Stratton, who is the iconic person that does this kind of training, is going to come in and talk with our nonprofit sector and say, you know, this is what we need to consider. We need to be advocates for, supportive of our LGBTQ community. And we embrace that. We embrace anybody that walks through our door, and with special support for this population that sometimes does not have the opportunities that the rest of us have.
That now, how many? These are the final three. How many sessions were there in this course?
I think a total of seven.
Okay.
We've run it up to close to 9 or 10, and we're looking at a different model for next year. But nonetheless, we will still be doing a whole variety, a menu of different classes, and offering mm-hmm. different opportunities for our nonprofit sector. So we will do anywhere between 7 and, let's say, 11 different topics every semester. And in the fall, we will be doing another 9 to 11 topics. And then people get an opportunity to accumulate their hours and become involved in the Professional Nonprofit Leadership Certificate Program, which requires 50 hours of time, and then they are awarded a certificate from the university for completion in that area.
Let me ask you, Bob, in your years of working with nonprofits, you have now a history. What have been some of the significant changes or factors that come into the existence of nonprofits, given your experience working with nonprofits?
I'm not sure I quite understand your question. The experience that they have had in...
Well, the changing nature of nonprofits in terms of, have nonprofits changed in your years in terms of access to funding, strategies in order to connecting with the community?
I see.
The rise of the, well, the use of the internet and technology.
Yeah, what it really comes down to is relationships, even more so than use of social media. The relationships that we try to encourage and support, putting people together. One of the greatest assets, I think, in our classes, aside from the skill acquisition that people are participating with, is getting to know their peers. Sharing with them, cooperating with them, forming partnerships. And if we have businesses in there, we encourage joint ventures between a small business and a nonprofit. That's fairly new up here. It hasn't happened before. So it's again, it's all about relationships. We talked about foundations just a few minutes ago, bringing foundations in to meet our nonprofits. And our nonprofits would not necessarily have as easy an opportunity to sit down and talk or role play with the foundation sector. And so that has changed as well. Also, I need to say that the foundation sector and the feedback I get from our foundations is, you know, we've been around for a long time, but we didn't realize what the need was in Sandpoint. And we're going to come visit. And I believe, Sherry, you've had some on-site visits, haven't you, from foundations that you met perhaps through the class, and you've done proposals and stuff like that. So we try to make those connections, and it truly is all about relationships. So that's a couple of the changes that we've had. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about any of your relationships with the foundation, Sherry?
Sure. You have actually, through the University of Idaho, I have met Avista, which is a major foundation in this local region, and also Inland Northwest Community Foundation, which has been a very strong supporter for Creation's growth over the years. So those times when we needed a sink, of running water, new carpet, whatever that need is, art supplies, they have met those needs and also have embraced vision. So they kind of look outside of the box. they've funded many creative ideas that we have shared with this community, and they've been strong supporters of that.
Was Creations, when you founded it, was it basically as it is now with the store and the creative space that there is now? It was all one, or has it expanded? Did part of it come first? Or
yeah, it started. We actually had an art gallery in the upper level of the Cedar Street Bridge, mm-hmm, back in 2009, and we had some extra space. So just a community member approached us and asked us to host a class for a special needs group, which consisted of six men from the years 18 years to, I think, maybe 70 years old. And she asked me to host this art class. And so I accepted that challenge and hosted an art class. So we created coil pots out of clay. So during this class, myself and six men, I just thought they hated it. I thought they were so bored, and they were just like, what in the world is this girl doing with us? So after they left, I cleaned up, and I was pretty depressed, actually. I was like, they're never going to come back. This was just terrible. So we left the class as it was and continued it the following week. I didn't expect anyone to show up. And to my surprise, 11 people showed up.
Cool.
They put their cards down in the library and came over and created art with me. And that was kind of the birth of Creations. And at that time, I had a toddler. And I saw so many parents in need, just moms needing to talk to moms and a place to go in Sandpoint. We have 6 months of extreme weather where children are not outside playing. If you've noticed, we have 10 outdoor play parks in this community, but we only have one indoor facility. So Creations is special in that it is
very
indoor
special
and weatherproof. And so, I saw that need. And that's where I met Mandy Evans from the animal pet shelter. She brought her children in, and we started hosting a toddler art class. And before you know it, we had, I don't know, maybe 30 parents and all their children running through the Cedar Street Bridge back in the day when there was not much in there. And so, from there we grew, and we started an arts piece that was on the lower level, and just with two picnic tables and some art supplies. And we have just grown and grown and grown over the years. Probably because of community demand. Yep.
And also the support you receive from the courses from Bob.
Of course. And foundation. Exactly. Foundation support.
Exactly. Let's one more time before we say goodbye to you to send you out into this incredibly beautiful day. The seminar on May 3rd, which is a Friday, Building Boards That Make a Difference. Okay, let's get the skinny out there to the folks.
Well, to get more information and to sign up and register, go to uidaho.edu/nonprofitCDA, and we'll tell you everything you want to know about this class and more.
Perfect. 8:30 to 4:30, and we will continue to, at least on the Thursday editions of the morning show, to re-mention information about this. Bob and Sherry, thank you so much for coming down to the studios this morning.
Jim and Jack, we really appreciate this opportunity, and it's good to see you guys again. And we really appreciate the work that the radio station is doing. It has been a blessing to this community and beyond. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much.
Well, the work that you do and that Sherry does, cannot speak enough to about the importance of a good board with a nonprofit. It's crucial. We had a music break earlier with I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles. We have another song coming up cued in the slot. On this date, 55 years ago, the Beatles held the top five single songs. And this song, I saw a list one time of Beatle covers in terms of ones that were covered. This is a Beatles song, incredibly popular, but one of the least covered Beatle songs, and it was in a top five 55 years ago today on this date, April 4th, 1964. That is the Beatles' She Loves You, one of the five songs that were in the top five positions in the singles chart, April 4th, 1964, 55 years ago today, and the only cover that I know of this song is done by the Chad Mitchell Trio from Spokane, Washington, Gonzaga University.
The Chad Mitchell Trio. Oh, was this a recent cover, or was this back in the day? Contemporary, I guess.
Oh, dear. Chad Mitchell Trio, late 50s, grew out of the Glee Club at Gonzaga University, and they went on to be quite famous in their own right. And when Chad Mitchell stepped down, they became the Mitchell Trio. They got a young singer-songwriter by the name of, I think, John Dufendorfer, who became John Denver.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
And before he did, leaving on a jet plane, which catapulted him into the stratosphere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the only cover I know of the Beatles. She Loves You. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh. I knew I'd heard of the Chad Mitchell Trio, but I couldn't.
Great backstory to them, and their roots are here in our area.
Huh.
And they also have one sad element to their is that they did a version of "Blowing in the Wind," mm-hmm. and they wanted their album in the early '60s titled "Blowing in the Wind," but the person who was there producing them also produced Peter, Paul, and Mary, and said, "We're going to slide this over to Peter, Paul, and Mary," mm-hmm. and of course, Peter, Paul, and Mary had a mega hit out of it. They appeared at the Civil War AIDS March mm-hmm. on Washington, D.C., and the Chad Mitchell Trio just sort of like faded.
Yeah.
So they missed it.
I see that we do have them in our library, though.
So darn tootin', because mm-hmm. on the KRFY Folk Show, mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of the interesting things that are happening in the community. One of the things that I want to start with is that the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force is offering scholarships to seniors graduating from any Bonner County public or private high school. And the deadline is next Wednesday, April the 10th, and you can get applications at your high school, at the Sandpoint High School Counseling Career Center, and it's open, and the amount varies from $500 to $2,500, depending upon the number of scholarships awarded. So this is very important for any senior graduating from any Bonner County public or private high school or homeschool. It's very important, homeschool as well. So the deadline is Wednesday, April the 10th. The application is available on the task force website at bchrtf.org.
Mm-hmm. The that is a interesting scholarship. Did we they talked about it last time they were in?
Yes, they did. Okay. And but that was about 2 weeks ago, and the application deadline was like off in the distant future. Well, the distant future is now, April the 10th, and this is important because education, whatever you know, is expensive.
Yeah,
and every little bit helps.
Yeah, you are correct, Jim. Saturday, April 27th is. Well, about 3 weeks away, but still, it is not too early to get in or get involved, get your tickets for the wine festival at Sandpoint. That is, of course, related to the regular old festival at Sandpoint that happens in late August. This one is at 5 p.m. Saturday, April 27th at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. Black tie is optional. We went to that 1 year, Jim. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. And it was great fun. And I'm probably going to have to go back to the one this year because I just heard the items up for auction, the food and the music. And it's not only a wonderful way to support the festival at Sandpoint and all of the good that not only the artists that they bring to the festival in early August, but also the way they give back to the community with the summer camp. Music summer camp. It's a great event, and I highly support it. And so, I might go back. One of the things before I let you jump into the music coming up this weekend, Hunger Bowl, striking out hunger in our community. I love that Hunger Bowl, but it's for bowling on Saturday, April 13th. That is a week from this Saturday. Four-person team bowling competition, silent auction, and prizes at Huckleberry Lanes on Division 120 Vision. Entrance fee. There is an entrance fee. It includes games, shoes, drink, and snack. They're looking for four-person teams, and you compete for bragging rights and crown bowling champs. And this goes to the proceeds will assist the Bonner County Bonner Community Food Center in helping hungry families in our community. And but you need to register by April the 8th. That's Monday. And you can call 208-263-3663 or info at foodbank83864.com.
The Bonner Community Food Center is what they're calling it.
Bonner, I want to say county. I know that it's not county. I know it's not. It's Bonner Community Food Center. But this is great. You know, I mean, a way to generate funds for the food bank, as well as get out and have some fun.
When is that again?
That is going to occur on Saturday, a week from this Saturday, April 13th. But you need to register by April the 8th, Monday. And it says non-competitive open session 10 to 11 that morning. So you can either four-person team, and that'd be a great way for a family just to get together and go out and move that ball down that wooded lane and hit some pins. But it goes for a good cause. I cannot speak enough praise for Debbie Love and her staff at the Bonner Community Food, I want to say bank, but food center.
I wonder if we could get a group of four community radio DJs to put together a team.
I'm going to be out of town. I get out after next Thursday's show. I go out for almost a week to Billings, Montana.
What you doing out there?
I see my brother, and I get my taxes done. I've been with Becky for over 35 years doing my taxes, and really it takes 5 minutes to do my taxes, but 25 minutes to catch up on everybody, all my old friends.
You told her you live across the state line now, right?
Oh, she knows that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I cross state lines. You know, I'm interstate. Woohoo!
We are, let's see here, a little look at the music coming up. We have open mic night tonight at A&P's Bar and Grill with KC Carter from 9 p.m. to midnight. That is preceded by, at A&P's Bar and Grill, a free wine tasting from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. as long as you are 21 and older. Haven't looked at the wine list at A&P's Bar and Grill, but interesting. They are branching out a little bit. Idaho Poor Authority hosts live music on the 5th. That's tomorrow from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. with Bright Moments Jazz at the Poor Authority. At the Pondre Winery, it's going to be Sadie and Desiree from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow night. Sadie and Desiree. Sadie's the singer. Desiree is the pianist.
Is that Sadie Cecilia?
I believe so.
Ah, excellent. She'll be up and coming at the Panada in a concert, I want to say, later this month.
Nice. Let's see here. Sip and Paint is coming up at the Pottery Bug on the 5th from 6 p.m. until unknown, beginner friendly, and you'll be walked through the entire process. It's also First Friday with Devin Wade tomorrow night at McDuff's Beer Hall. Live music from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. Free and open to the public as long as you are over 21.
That's important. Yeah. Jack, I know we're not going to get a chance to play mm-hmm. the other three Beatles songs. Can you just shuffle them down to the top mm-hmm. after Bird Note next hour? These will be the other three songs that were in the top five 55 years ago.
We are ready to do that, yes.
Okay, and I want to say briefly tonight on, we have the 3 o'clock Rush uh-huh. With Ryan Baumgartner, and then we have Wood Songs at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, we have Live from the Divine. And 9 o'clock, I'm going to be coming live with Songs from the Broadside. Tune in and find out about that.
What? I don't know what that means. Well, Songs from the Broadside.
From the Broadside. It's a publication that was from 1962 to 1988, and I'll talk about that
The
tonight.
Broadside.
Broadside. And I want to thank Bruce Hickman lending me his 5-CD set, and I'm going to go out and get my own of Songs from the Broadside. It was a publication, and Bruce, thank you so much.
Bruce. Okay, cool. Also going on tomorrow night, High Trees and Ammunition from 9 p.m. to midnight. It's a three-piece experimental indie rock band from Heron. Over.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Talk about crossing state lines.
I know. They bring it every time, stopping when all the ammunition, that is energy or material, is spent and gone. It is at the 219 on Friday night. It is closing weekend at Schweitzer,
yes.
The spring finale. I bet that's been mentioned on previous morning shows, so if you've been tuning in, you probably know all about it more than I do. But it is the grand finale, and that is this weekend, the 6th and the 7th. Lou Demansky's 28th annual chess festival. The chess enthusiasts will be tuning out for a one-day tournament named in honor of the founder, Mr. Lou Demansky. It is at 9 a.m. in Sandpoint Community Hall on Saturday, April 6th.
Do you play chess?
Not in years. Maybe I play like one game a year.
I was never good at it because I could only think of just the next move.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of 20 moves down the pike. Uh-huh. You know, just the next move, and then I'd sit back and wait and see what the other person did, and then I go, oh, how interesting. I love the game, but
yeah,
it's
very cool. I think my problem was that, like, I would develop these, you know, grand plans, and then as the board changed, I'd be like, wait, this isn't working out
very
well.
I'm not recognizing this.
No,
Hold on.
You were supposed to move that piece over here. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So anyway, that's the Lou Demansky 28th annual chess festival.
April 6th. Sandpoint Community Center.
Yeah. And that would be cool. I think that'd be cool to just to go see what's going on, even if you're not going to play.
Absolutely.
No, it's free first Saturday at the museum. Oh, we are out of time.
We do want to mention it's out of time. Jack, always good to see you. Get out and enjoy this lovely day.
Yeah. Surprise spring beautiful day here. Stay tuned for Bird Note, then the Beatles.
Then three Beatles songs. Bam, bam, bam.
And then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY Pondere.